Thank you for checking out the Brave Way podcast. I'm your host, Lavelle Miller. And on this podcast, we'll be covering the books I enjoyed the most in 2023. Now, all the books that I will be mentioning aren't ones that were written in 2023 per se. It's just when I checked out the book myself. And fun fact for you all, a lot of times in the book world, books are considered new for the first 3 years. The reason why is it takes a while for how Google searches and things like Goodreads and all this other stuff can filter in choices that you may like, because when a book comes out, you don't have anything else to compare it to. So some of these books randomly came upon me, and some of these were targeted choices. I will be splitting them up between fiction and nonfiction. For the fiction portion, I will do my best not to include spoilers. So, without further ado, let's get to it. Hey, you all. So, like I said in the intro, this podcast will be covering some of the books I enjoyed in 2023. Before I get to that, I want to give you a couple tidbits and notes. At the beginning of March, or sometime in March, I should rather say, we'll be launching a Kickstarter campaign for this anthology that I'll be a part of with a bunch of amazing writers. This anthology will be released at the end of 2024. They will be all holiday theme, mystery, thriller, suspense, short stories. With the Kickstarter, when we reach certain donation points, people will be able to get specialized covers, things like that. If we do reach a certain goal, I believe we will have like author bios, like specific author bios in the back, or considering doing a signature or signed copies rather for the book. So look to that coming in the near future. That's one. Two, I at the beginning of January, I launched a online merch store, Brave One Lifestyle Brand. If you see it with the fourth wall, that's who I use for the store, for the print-on-demand items that I will have listed. If you use code GREATNESS2024, you'll get 24% off of a purchase, $80 or more. There are a lot of great items in the store that I enjoy. I have some samples for me that are still arriving, but like what's up today was I got this cool mug with the Brave Way logo, the one on the podcast, the same ones for the newsletter. If you're a part of that, that's on. And I got a couple shirts with a couple of my slogans and stuff on there. So it is wintertime. And most of these things are long sleeve. Definitely check that out. But getting into this, to the book, I mean, not the book, these books, these books are not in the direct order, as in, like, I rank these as my favorites throughout the year. These are, I'm going back and looking at my reading log, luckily for me, and a lot of people do this too, you work for a library, you can opt in to have your reading history tracked. That way you make sure you're not reading the same books again. Or if you realize you've checked out a book and returned it at one point in time, you can try to figure out why was it that you returned the book or things like that. So I knew some off top that I wanted to write down. And on the other hand, there were some that I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't find, because it's like kind of verify if I did read it or maybe reread it again. So we will start with nonfiction and then I'll go to fiction. For the fiction, things. I will try not to give spoilers. Nonfiction, I believe, is kind of hard to do that, based off the nature of everything is told is supposed to be true, already known, or things like that. And then plus anybody, they get what they get from whatever they're reading. And then I'll tell you a couple books that I didn't enjoy, as well as things that you may be interested in. So anyway, so let's start it. We'll start with nonfiction. So this book I actually do believe I originally read in 2022, and I've seen it on my reading log again for 2023, which to me means I might have went back and just were revisiting some things that I thought about the book. But even if it was 2022 and it slid into 2023, I'm still going to count it because of the subject matter. So the name of the book is We Own This City by Justin Fenton. Justin Fenton is a Pulitzer-winning journalist for the Baltimore Sun, or formerly of the Baltimore Sun. I don't remember if he currently still works there or not. We Own This City is about the corruption with inside the Baltimore Police Department, specifically covering the Gun Trace Task Force. So to give you a little insight on the book, the Gun Trace Task Force was a plainclothes police unit that for about a decade committed the largest modern day racketeering event inside of a police department. You can look it up and you can see a lot of the people got long jail sentences. Some people got little things cheaper out of that. The interesting thing about that, I would say, just a little bit more, police are kind of in an odd light when it comes to these things, because they did get a lot of bad guys and gals off the streets, drugs and guns, but they have to do it the right way. That's the most important thing. And so illegal searches and seizures, violating people's rights is not okay to do it. Folks always find it interesting because if you're new here, I was a military police officer. I have 2 degrees in the criminal justice field. So typically when people look at like what my background, I've worked in security, law enforcement, whatever, outside of my time in the military, when people look at like what I've done and then they compare it to things that I seem to be interested in, they would think that they were, I'm always pro whatever law enforcement does, and I'm not. What's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And in this case, there was a lot of wrong. People's lives were adversely affected. Some people even seriously injured or killed. So I definitely believe that's a book that you guys should check out. And I'll throw this in as a bonus because, like I said, I'm with the good and the bad with this. And then how this type of negative reaction can affect what people decide to do, because they look at it as one cop is bad, all cops are bad. So, and these have terrible penalties that can happen when you decide to label anybody or any person in one group or whatever. You know what I mean by saying that. And that is Breaking Blue, Real Life Stories of Cops Falsely Accused, is written by Sean Sticks Larkin. Sean Sticks Larkin, if you guys watched Live PD, or you watch On Patrol Live, which is on Reels, the show that replaced it after the George Floyd situation. And I know I'm trying to be careful with how that sounds, because what that officer did was 100% wrong. Not something that you're never trained to do. But in that book, it covers many stories of cops that are falsely accused and things that have happened to them because of the accusal. One story I will use as an example, because there's a lot of good ones in there, is a woman was drunk driving, got pulled over, and in this police department's either the state or the city, because SOP, standard operating procedure, varies depending on place to place. Everybody's not the same. They put the suspects in the front versus the back. It is whatever they're required, that's what they do. So what happened is she calls her husband prior to the police officer arresting her, and she's taken to the station before her husband arrives. Want to skip a few. What ended up happening is the husband decided to reach out to a civil rights lawyer, because not only did he decide among himself, didn't converse this with his wife at all, that the stop was legal. The fact that she was placed in the front passenger of the car, or in the front passenger seat of the car, was illegal. That the officer actually sexually assaulted his wife during this process. So the husband and the attorney had a press conference, aired all this out, didn't say anything. And it happened to be some recently had also happened with it. I can't remember the state, some of the East, because it was a year plus when I read this book. That's something that happened regarding in that community where things were on edge. And the police officer was like, well, not only it was my body cam on during our entire time, there's a camera directly on her while we're in the patrol car. So you're thinking I left early to do something nefarious to your wife when all of this is recorded. So once the claim was made, the body cam footage, the dash cam footage was immediately released, and they were just having they had a casual conversation all the way to the police station. All the point that he thought that it seemed odd, everything seemed on the up and up. And his wife was livid that she was brought into this, because she never asked for his assistance. And I guess, let me state the obvious, if it isn't obvious, the officer was white, this woman was black. And she was livid because she was like, I never told you that happened. I never acted like that happened. And you decided amongst yourself to use my name because you thought we was going to make a lot of money off the what happened regarding this officer. Of course, the attorney said he reached out to me. I thought everything was on the up and up. I didn't look at it, you know. Just call me Bennett. My name ain't in it. And then he moved on. And I do believe the husband ended up having charges filed on him for that. That can't remember if they were later dismissed or not. So all of that long speech about those books is I look at a lot of different things regarding, because nobody's ever the same, and you shouldn't do one action of one person doesn't mean the all for everybody. So always keep those in mind. Next book is Leadership BS by Jeffrey Pfeiffer. Leadership BS uncovers the truth, and I'll say that in quotation marks, of what leadership actually is. And we're talking about C-suite level and the senior level management, C-suite, if you're unfamiliar, is a CEO, CFO, things like that. And then, of course, you got your senior management regimes as well. And Jeffrey Pfeiffer is a, or was at the time of his writing, and he may still be a professor at Stanford, in the Stanford Business School, and focuses on his MBA program. And he's teached the same principles that was in this book. This book, I do believe, was written originally in 2016, but the same principles then, prior, and future. Leadership BS, to make it simple, says that, like, what you think, like, the other books you may have read about leadership are telling you a myth that you need to be personable, that you need to be outgoing, you need to have everybody's best interest at heart. And that's not true. You should only be worried about yourself, be selfish, and the shareholders. Now, he gives examples throughout the book on how people who have taken his advice have succeeded, and the ones who have not didn't. And I, when I first read this book, I had took notes, and then I had shared it with other people and asked them what their thoughts were. And their thoughts from the book was like, it was like, if I have to be this type of person, I don't want to be, I guess I don't need to be a leader. However, other people also told me that, oh, by looking at it this way, this also informs me why some of my leadership not only acts the way they do, why they continue to get promoted. So that was an interesting conversation I had with people in regards of that leadership style. So I just think, because that book is the most different from any leadership book that I have either referred somebody to or read, that's the reason why, for me, it landed on a book that I liked. Because sometimes we get stuck in listening or reading the same type of materials and realize that maybe we need to look at this in a different way to see if we can get the best results. Another book, or the last nonfiction book on here, is Leadership Gap by Lolly Daskal, who's a professional performance improvement specialist, I would say, something that I guess I'm supposed to try to be myself. And within that, she, I believe there's six different leadership archetypes that she covers, and she covers the opposite of that style. The reason why I like that book is because quite a few of the ones that she mentioned resonated with me personally, or people that I knew. And it was like, okay, yeah, this is the type of leader I know this person can be or is based off of this archetype. And then, oh yes, this negative thing happened. So to try to make it clear is, you have your standard archetype. Then that gap is a person who challenges your archetype, or organization that challenges your archetype and makes you go in a different direction. Therefore, you become the opposite of that type of leader, which kind of goes into leadership BS, and where you're this negative Nancy, as people would say, and very skeptical of everybody who talks to you or thinks about you or whatever. So the idea of understanding that this is the opposite side of you can put you in a position to where, when the negative interaction is going to happen, because it will, you know that this is the leader you might try to turn to, but it gives you the tools or mentions how you can navigate your way back to being the leader that you know you can be. So that book, 100% believe it's worth a, it's a listen for you. Or I say listen because most of the books I consume, for lack of a better word, are audiobooks. But if you have a physical copy of that book, there goes that. So that is it for my nonfiction section. I will throw this book that people have continued to refer me to that I haven't read yet. It's been out for a few years. Dare to Lead by Brené Brown. If you haven't, maybe you need to check that out. Maybe I need to check it out because people keep referring it to me. So, all right, let's go to fiction. So, fiction. The first book is Razor Blade Tears by S.A. Cosby. I will say, as a matter of fact, that not only was this was, if I'm talking about in actual rankings, this book was my favorite book by far of 2023 that I read. And it's easily top five, if not top three, if not top two of my favorite books of all time, due to what is covered within the book. Now, like I said, the idea of me doing the fiction books is to keep it spoiler free. And I will definitely do my best to do that. But I would say it's about two fathers getting justice for their sons who were murdered. Easy premise of the book covering like that. But the two characters in the book that, of course, my mind now loses their names of, but the two main characters in the book are their way of thinking, the way that they were brought up, very stereotypical. And I guess I can say this too, because it's a spoiler either, because it's at the very beginning of the book. Their sons were married. So the idea of the very stereotypical background of a, and they were an interracial couple, of a black man who came from a conservative church-growing stronghold, what you think a man is and not, and a person who grew out in the country, a white guy, and what they may believe. And these books are based in southern areas, right? So I'm saying a lot. I just said a lot, but saying a little there. The action, the betrayal, the revelations, the shame, all of that. Like when I read that book, I was like, there's that book, in my opinion, is like timeless at this point. As in that, once again, original dates lose me, but the idea that you could take that book, and if I moved it to 2010, right, certain people think some things have changed, some things haven't, it could still be there. I would say you could put it in, we're 2024 right now, that book could be released in 2023, and it's still ringing true with some of those truths. that are in the book. Communities be have different opinions about that book of what they thinks it it can and cannot mean. But definitely, that is a one that if you have insider knowledge of the and insider knowledge is not the right term, but if you know the people within the two communities, or three communities that are involved, you will know exactly what I'm talking about. So definitely check it out. The next book on the list, or I have here, is Killers of a Certain Age by Deanna Rayburn. I just liked, what I mostly enjoyed about that book is that, based off the title, Killers of a Certain Age, is letting you know that, these characters are going to be either younger or older. These were older operatives of a paramilitary organization that was trying to uncover some truths about why somebody, why it appeared there was an attempt on their lives. Reason why I like that book is I like how the characters were talking, because it was real. And the reason why I say real is there's a lot of the idea that females don't cuss a lot, or it's not ladylike or whatever. People may, however they feel is how they feel, but that's not how they may talk to their friends. That's not how they may talk to people that they're comfortable around, because they don't have to worry about putting on a facade. So this book, all the characters, no matter when, I mean, most of the time they're around each other, but they all talked comfortably. And I felt that that helped bring more like to the characters that were involved. And then the idea of them doing the things that they were doing in the book. There was some flashing back and going to their past or where they started, and then to the present time. There's this thing that I think people have in their head that we look at, and not dissing them in any way, but when you look at like the TV show The Golden Girls, the women who were on The Golden Girls, how they dressed, how they moved, and the things that they were doing, even though they would have been, like these ladies in this book, they were in their early 60s, they may have been same thing 50s, 60-ish. They wouldn't have been doing the same thing that these women are doing. And the reason why I say that is like, because it ages well. We all progress as humans. And you can look at people you know that you'd be like, oh, wow, they're 50. Oh, wow, they're 60. And you wouldn't know this because of the advancements in the medical field and the physical fitness field, where they're keeping themselves in shape. They're trying to do some things. Of course, you're not going to be able to do everything that you used to do when you were younger. But what happens if somebody underestimates you? I mean, you know what you're talking about. It's a good way to get yourself hurt or embarrassed. So that was the bigger point for me for that book was how comfortable all the characters seemed conversing with themselves, not having to try to hide how they would actually talk to each other. The author did a good job of not having that. And the abilities of the women and the naiveness of the people who were younger than them, thinking that they wouldn't know how to do certain things or didn't know how technology worked and all this other stuff. That's what I really enjoyed about that book. And it had enough action and pause scenes to where you're trying to figure some things out. It did tail off at the end, which was kind of expected, because how things were shaping up at that point, I kind of knew that, not saying that the author was necessarily running out of steam, but it was Ant to me. And then we have, and then I'll go to a couple runner-ups, but then The Maid by Nita Prose. I liked the main character in this book. And I know a lot of y'all are going to kill me because it's like I'm telling you main characters and not giving you names. But I listen to so many books so frequently, I lose names and stuff. And then there's also characters whose names I do know that I'm purposely not saying because I didn't say the names, the characters of some of the other ones. So, that aside. I like the main character, The Maid, the quirkiness of the character, how this, and I will say this going back with Killers of a Certain Age, I could see Killers of a Certain Age and The Maid as a movie. The Razorblade Tears, because what it is and the issues it could invoke, I could see why people wouldn't put that on the screen. But anyway, so I could see The Maid as a movie or a TV show. And if you guys are wondering, Razorblade Tears is a noir type book, a different type of crime book. Killers of a Certain Age is a mystery thriller book. And The Maid is a mystery thriller book. I don't really feel that The Maid fits what would be considered a mystery or thriller book by traditional standards, but I can see how the author was like, I don't want to put this as literary fiction, because not saying that the book's not well written, but when you consider literary fiction, people expect it to sound or read a certain type of way. So I did like that. I did like the book because of that. The ending, the book was good until it wasn't. And I don't want to bash it too much for me on the ending. Because I think if you're reading the book, if you're listening to the character, main character, and how she interacts with all these other people and stuff, I do believe you'll like that book. So those are like the top, the ones I enjoyed the most. So throwing this out here, of another book you might enjoy, I liked, Alex Cross Must Die, by Jace Patterson, because it was, actually, I think I'm telling you, it's the wrong book. Sorry, not that book. Cross Down. Not that one. Cross Down by Jace Patterson. Because I liked John, and I know he's done it before, but I like the fact John Sampson wasn't taking a back role, a back seat in this book. And he was the main focus of the book. And it had enough action, and it had enough plausible situations that were happening in the book that I did really enjoy. I will say, and I hate to throw this out there too, but I did like Lion and Lamb by another Jace Patterson book. What I found interesting in that book was the artistic style that they decided to do, to where they purposely blocked out because these people are like private detectives. That they purposely blocked out addresses and cuss words and other bits of information when the transcripts were supposed to be read. I just thought that gave it a different artistic view on how you looked at the book. Like, so much so that people were reaching out to Penguin Random House asking, did they get flawed copies, audio copies of the book and physical copies of the book, because there's like, why is this blacked out? And it was like, oh no, that was an artistic choice. The Last Days of Ptolemy Gray by Walter Mosley. It's about an aging man. It is a TV show now on Apple TV Plus. I started it, but I didn't finish it because something else came up. But I did like the idea of a man, like, it's day and times for him, and then him having to try to let the people know what the world is as it is coming to the end. And actually, covered blanketly, I read pretty much all of Walter Mosley stuff last year, and most of his books to me, it never felt like they were running out of steam and then the book was over. There were a few that felt like there were a few, like, it's like, let's be honest, that there's a few, but most of them, like, from the time it starts and it goes, and then there's a good job, great job, rather, of, even though this character came from, he was just in the last book, he reminded you why he was in the last book, or what he did, or something that happened to him as a youth, or something that happened like 7 books ago, so you could catch up with the characters fast, and like short, quick, snappy books. Did enjoy that. And just wrapping it all up. So books that I didn't, that I wouldn't recommend if you, as you're going through your list for next year, The Mystery Guest, Nina Prose's second book. I would not recommend that book. Just flat out. I would say that book to me read like this was the author's first book that she showed to the publisher. The publisher said, no, write another one. She wrote The Maid, and it was like, oh, The Maid is good. Now we'll go back with the other book. That'll give you time. Like, we'll age it up to where we know it's the second book, and then this will give you time to write your third. That's how I felt how that book read to me, because things that were like obvious in the first book were brought up again like they were new points. So that was a thing. And then finally, I will say, After That Night by Karen Slaughter. And let me say, when I say don't recommend, I would say this with this book. Read that book with caution. That's probably like the first book that I've listened to that I felt really uncomfortable with that book. And it's a mystery thriller book. Most of my books I'll be recommending fiction-wise will be mystery thriller books. But I felt uncomfortable with that book. And I don't even want to give the premise and stuff away, but what's in the premise is things I've been reading about, that there has been a lot of talk and discussion about, should that premise be a overarching component of the book. And I'll just say it like that. But anyway, so hopefully gave you some guys, some books that you may want to check out next year. If you have any recommendations, feel free to send them my way as well. And to let you know, as always, the same become legendary and greatness is earned.